is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. And the reading can be found on page 1082 in the Church Bibles or page 1908 in the large print version. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So before I begin to speak, let me pray briefly. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the events of our two readings this morning occur almost 2,000 years ago and about 50 days apart. The gospel reading takes place on the night before Jesus' death, and it forms part of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples before his arrest later that night and his crucifixion the following morning. Then, following his resurrection from death on that first Easter morning, Acts chapter 1 tells us that Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Spirit, my Father, promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." On the 40th day after his resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven, and the disciples had returned to Jerusalem to wait. 10 days later, they were gathered together in Jerusalem, and it was the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a Greek word meaning 50 or 50 days. And it was primarily a harvest festival, a thanksgiving for the first harvest of the year. And it's celebrated 50 days after the great Jewish festival of Passover. Passover, as you may remember, commemorates the rescue of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt some 1,300 years previously. 50 days after escaping from Egypt, the Israelites came to Mount Sinai, and God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the law that was seen as a binding agreement or covenant between God and his chosen people. For 1,300 years, the Jews had lived under that covenant, the law of Moses. And although it was absolutely central to their sense of national identity, there was also a sense that it was somehow incomplete. And at several points in those interceding years, their prophets had spoken of something else. Jeremiah had prophesied that God would make a new covenant with his people. He would put his law into their minds and write it on their hearts. Joel had prophesied that God would pour out his Spirit on all people. God said, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Ezekiel had prophesied that God would remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and he would put his spirit in them to guide them. 1300 years after Moses, Jesus the Messiah, God the Son, had promised his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And it was during the Jewish festival of Passover, around 30 AD, that Jesus was crucified and buried and raised to life. And then 50 days later, God sent the Holy Spirit upon his people to dwell within them. God's covenant with the Israelites was permanent, in that God never breaks his promises, but the means by which that covenant was made, the law that God had given to Moses, was merely temporary. The real law, the real guarantee of God's promise, was the law that would be written on the people's hearts. The real law was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself. No longer a law that was hard, cold and rigid, a law that was inflexible and unforgiving, written on tablets of stone, but a law that was intimate, loving, a law that was life-giving and living in human hearts. The Apostle Paul would later write to the Christians in Ephesus, "When you believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." He also wrote to the Christians in Corinth, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Now, before returning to heaven, Jesus had told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Greek word for power is dunamis, from which we get our English words dynamic or dynamite. And so on that feast of Pentecost, Jerusalem was filled with hundreds of thousands of Jewish people from all over the known world, there to celebrate that great festival. And it was then that God chose to send the Holy Spirit, like a rushing wind and tongues of fire. And the Holy Spirit gave to those disciples the courage and the ability to go out and speak to all of those people who had gathered from all over the world. And they were able to tell them about Jesus, the Son of God, in their own languages, so that those people in turn could go home and tell of the amazing things that they had seen and heard about Jesus, Jesus the Messiah. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, came to equip and empower the disciples for their mission to the world. It was no coincidence that the Holy Spirit was given at the season of the giving of the law. It was no coincidence that the Holy Spirit was given during that great gathering of Jewish people from all over the world, so that the gospel would be preached and the good news exploded around the known world. That same Holy Spirit who empowered the disciples 2,000 years ago is the same Holy Spirit whom God promises to everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Once we put our faith in God the Son, God the Father puts God the Spirit in our hearts to guarantee our eternal life in God and to equip us to bring the life of God to others. We carry the presence of God into every situation we encounter, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our neighborhoods. We have the authority and the power to bless, to speak words of life to our families, to our friends, and to our neighbors. And we have the authority to bind Satan in our community. And our prayers for God's kingdom to come in the lives of those we love releases the power that will break the enemy's hold over them. The Holy Spirit empowers each Christian for mission today, just as much as he did 2,000 years ago, because the world needs the good news of Jesus Christ as much now as it did then. The church is not meant to be a monument to a dead person. It's not meant to be a mausoleum. And as beautiful as our churches may be, they aren't meant to be museums of art and architecture. The church is meant to be a movement of people, dynamic and dynamite. We are to tell people and teach people about Jesus Christ. We are to bring the love of God into our communities. We are to confront and fight injustice around the world, wherever we see it and whatever the cost. And we are to seek to sustain and renew this beautiful creation that God has entrusted to us. We are all called to be a part of and play our part in this awesome, life-changing, life-affirming, life-giving movement. The question is, what part are you called to play? The Bible tells us that about 100 disciples were gathered in the room that Pentecost 2,000 years ago. 100 people to change the world. That's about the same number as are gathered here this morning. Let us pray. And let's now just spend a moment of silence, a couple of minutes of silence, and ask God what he wants us to do to serve him in our situations and in our contexts.